I don't know about y'all, but that blesses me when she sits down to play. I'm telling you, I told her earlier, I said, I don't ever want you to stop once you start. Thank you, Lord, for Jean. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you really believe that God's still on the throne? I don't just believe it, I know it. I know it. See His handiwork everywhere I go. See His blessings everywhere I go. His miracle power everywhere I go. Day in and day out. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Will you permit me to do something this morning? I got a song that's on my heart, and I just feel impressed like this morning is when God wants me to share this with you. Some of you may have heard this before. Some of you probably may have never heard it before. But it's a pretty good song called Jesus is Still the Answer. And it goes like this. Some men try so hard to prove. Excuse me, let me try again. Some men try so hard to prove that God's not really real. While others say they know for sure His love you cannot feel. But I know He's real within my soul. One day He cleansed and He made me whole. Jesus is still the answer for the longing deep in your soul. Jesus is still the answer, and though time and ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. And though some men say He does not fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is still the answer. He's always been and He always will be. Some men pretend that things of this world have brought them peace of mind. But with the dawn of each new day, new thrills they try to find. Not until they meet the Prince of Peace can they ever hope to find real peace. Jesus is still the answer for this world that is seeking for peace. Jesus is still the answer, and though time and ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. And though some men say He does not fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is still the answer. He's always been and He always will be. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the answer. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for these people. I thank you for your presence here, Lord. And we know that you came in with us, Lord. And there's more than two of us here, Lord. So we know that you've gathered with us. And we know that whatever we ask this morning, Lord, you will answer. My prayers are always answered, as the song says, Lord. And we thank you for that. Our prayers are always answered. Lord, we just give you praise and honor and glory today. We lift up our voices to magnify and exalt you. Let what we say be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Let it be a sweet smell and a sweet sound. Lord, we now confess and we say we have open minds and receptive hearts, Lord, to receive your word and to enter in this morning. We do it all for you, Lord, and because of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, have your way. For that, we'll be eternally grateful. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I just mentioned Richard. If you know the whole story, then you know that basically Richard was given up just to die. Richard, for those of you who don't know, is the gentleman who used to play the drums here. He's blind. He was a part of the music group for quite some time and part of this fellowship. We love Richard, and he's sitting up. He's eating. He's acknowledging people, and they pull the plug on him. when his brother was here, just after he left, he called up and said, "Now just pull the plug and let him go." In my heart of hearts, and in God, you know, and also in Stan's heart, when I talked to him, it was between him and God, between Richard and God. And Richard and God decided it's not time. God's still got things for him to do. And I know Richard's best years are still ahead. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So we can give God glory. Even though it looks bleak, God is in control. I mean, either way, he was going to be healed, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, and he'll see again, which he hasn't seen since he was, 9 years old? And he's now, 58, 57? 58. So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I know I see things going on in everybody's life here, so I'm blessed. I mean, God's blessing Harry. He's been with him. Marie is up walking around again with a walker. Praise God. There's lights at the end of these tunnels if our focus is in the right place. Amen. Hallelujah. If we give him all the glory and the honor, praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So I can tell you I can't think of any place I'd rather be or that I have a desire to be than right here. I hope you feel the same way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? When God is in you, and you really know and believe that He's the truth, and you've had the experiences, then I would ask you, what else is there to talk about? What's more important than Him? When I speak, I pray that the feeling is that you hear that I'm giving God praise and glory, but that I love Him, I adore Him, and that I want people to know about this magnificent Savior we have. Amen? He is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. And it breaks my heart to think about people who don't know Him and who just refuse to see, like the song said. You know, some men pretend that things of this world have brought them peace of mind. And with the dawn of each new day, another thrill, a new thrill they try to find. But it's not until they meet the Prince of Peace that they'll ever hope to have real peace. Jesus is still the answer, the only answer. He's the truth, the life, the only way. Amen? Hallelujah. We have so much to be thankful for. So when I get started, I can't help it. It just gushes out. Scripture says, you've hidden His word in your heart, so what? You don't sin against Him. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I pray that what you're understanding is not that I'm on a soapbox, but that it's what's in my heart in abundance. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember Kathy? I think she's still out of town. And God's doing mighty miracles there. Sometime I want, for those of you who may not have heard, I want Donna to share that testimony. In fact, there's no time like the present. Share that testimony about the little child and the healing that came from the eye problem.
When I lived in Canada, I had a friend who, her daughter had a baby. And the baby was born with some kind of an eye problem. And the doctors kept telling them, you know, this child needs surgery or else it's going to go blind. And the grandmother, who was my friend, and the mother both resisted that, believing that God would heal this child. And so several weeks had gone by, and the baby was still in the hospital, and it got to the point where the surgeon said, if you don't let me operate, and this child is, you know, the child will go blind, but I'm going to go to the court and get a court order to be allowed to do this surgery. And the grandmother said, no, hang on, just one more day. That's what God is saying, just one more day. Uh-huh. So the next day, the doctor comes in, and she starts, you know, tearing a strip off of the parents, saying, I'm going to go to court today and get a court order, and, you know, the hospital is, not her personally. So the grandmother said, well, just go in and check the baby one more time. And so she went in and checked, and this baby's eye was healed. It was seeing out of both eyes fine, and however they test that, you know, but it was tracking and everything. So the doctor didn't see it healed in front of them, but they saw that the eye was healed through faith and through prayer. So we're believing that for Kathy's grandbabies as well. Grandbaby, I should say.
Amen. Yes. Apparently a very similar situation with this new grandson of hers. As I said, God's still on the throne. You know, I get amazed. There are some really, really good doctors out there. Men and women who believe in God, who trust God, and they show that, what they do. And then there's some that they cannot stand it.
if they didn't have a hand in something good happening to whoever it is. And those are the ones you want to kind of try to avoid. You know? That's my opinion. But anyway, God is on the throne. He's doing things. And every day, every day, if we'll just open our eyes and listen, we'll hear of God supernaturally intervening in somebody's life for whatever. He says, I know what you have need of before you even ask. That doesn't just talk about provision. But part of that provision is healing and what you need in your life. Don't take any thought for food or for, you know, what you're going to wear. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to be here before you this morning in your house to worship you. We ask you to bless each and every one that's here today, and we thank you for all the blessings that you've poured out on each and every one of us with our health. And even though we're being attacked by physical things, we know that we've already won the battle.
Yes, thank you.
Because Jesus paid the price. We ask you to multiply this offering this morning, Heavenly Father, so it can be used to glorify you and multiply your kingdom here on this earth. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Give Him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. My King, my Lord, Lord. We worship you this morning, Lord. You are worthy. You are awesome, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that if we will listen, diligently listen and obey, Lord. Lord, that your promises in you are yes and amen. And Lord, that the things that would try to cause calamity or hurt or heartache or frustration or anxiety in our life will disappear and go away if our focus is on you, Lord. We have but to obey you, Lord, to do what you say, Lord. And your blessings, your power, your anointing will come through, Lord. And we'll have, as you said in Jeremiah 29, a hope and a future, an expected end. For that we praise you and thank you, Lord, as we minister the word this morning. Father, touch these stammering lips with a coal from off the altar of God. Use me, Lord, I surrender to you. Let your word be expounded upon here, be exposed and ministered, Lord, to people, because it's your word that causes change. The anointing that's on your word and the Holy Spirit, which brings about your will in this place, Lord, and in us, in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there have been a couple of events, probably more than a couple, but some things that I began to examine and look at. One that I face almost on a daily basis. And how many here right now could say that maybe possibly to some degree, because of circumstances in your family, I'm not talking necessarily your immediate family, in some cases it may be your immediate family, but in your family, that there are things that just frustrate you. You see what God could do for people, and you see what God wants to do and what His promises are, but it just is not working. It seems to be getting worse. You know, this is one of those areas where this is so evident that what is manifest in the physical manifests in the spirit, and vice versa. What's manifest in the spirit manifests in the flesh, in the physical. How many have been at the point of frustration that you've done something and you thought with everything within you, you thought you were doing the right thing, you thought you were doing it the right way, and it just is not working out. It just is not working out. You're not getting the desired result. And I would remind you what the Bible says, and that is consider your ways. There's only one way of doing things if you want blessings in your life, if you want to see the power of God in your life, and that's doing what God says the way God says to do it. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't do it your way, because it may backfire in your face. Now, I know of an individual who he knows about God. He knows God, and he knows God's presence in his life, but he will not do it God's way. He thinks he's got a better way. In other words, he's kind of like the old Greyhound bus saying. It says, go Greyhound and leave the driving to us. And when we do that, we exclude God. And then when we have things that come up in our face that we don't understand why they're that way, and we come into frustration, because you're not trusting God, it makes the frustration even greater. Case in point, you got a child. You love this child with all your heart, or so you think. Listen carefully. I'm not questioning the love, but I'm saying, do you really love that child enough to do what God says and do it God's way? That's just one circumstance. And then when that child becomes unruly, disrespectful, and, you've given them everything they ever wanted. For whatever reason, whatever motivates you in your heart and your spirit, you give the child everything they ever want, and they still... And they have manners. They're polite. They do things the right way. But there's no respect. Well, I would submit to you that that's because there's no respect for God. If there was, you would do it His way, and you would respect others the way you want to be respected. In order to get respect, you have to give respect. Amen? Respect is earned. Now, if you know God, it shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is in natural life. If you want respect, you give respect. The message this morning is God's way is the right way. And you know what? We're just like that child. Some of us, even though we know God, we're just like that child. We're defiant. We don't respect God the way we should. And we're standing in God's face saying, no, no. When we're asked to do something, we say, no. And it's not a heart of, God, I'm not. It's not, God, are you sure you got the right person? It's flat out rebellion. No, I won't do it. How many remember the Bible says what you sow, you reap? How many remember that God says, we'll look at this in a few minutes, but don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, what a person sows, man meaning not gender specific, but mankind, you're going to reap. The answer is in God, but you've got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Family of God, do you know what I'm talking about? Hebrews 11:6, familiar passage. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, along with the respect we're talking about, there come some things that need to be done when you're training or when we're trained. Part of that training is proper etiquette, proper manners, proper posture, and the proper response to what is going on around you. And I would remind you, if you sow to the wind, what are you going to get? The whirlwind. It's never too late to start in a person's life. I know you get all this falter off from these quote-unquote so-called experts, but if it is not done by this age, then, it's a hopeless situation. I'm so sick of hearing about hopeless situations. Yes, they're right. Without God, it is hopeless. Without God, it'll never get done. Without God, it'll never change. The only way I've ever seen a leopard change its spots is if God did something supernatural in somebody's life. Sometimes starting right here. Amen? Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 12:28,
He tells us, and this is part of the first 28 verses that tell you about the blessings of God, if you will diligently listen and obey, that you will observe to do all that He says to do. Deuteronomy 12:28 says, observe, and obey. And some of us hate that word terribly. All these words which I command you, that it may go well with you, now listen carefully, and your children. You have to have it happen here first in order to set the example. How many know what I'm saying? If it's not happening here, it's not going to happen out there. That it may go well with you and your children. After you, forever. May go well with you and your children after you, forever. When you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. What is good and right. You know, somewhere where they got the philosophy, I got a better way. And I would ask you the question, and I would submit to you, what better way to do things than what God says? What other way is going to bring the blessings of God in your life? Whatever way is going to bring change to a situation that looks to be hopeless and that basically sends you, if you'll just allow me to use these words, round the twist. Makes you go out of your mind, in other words. What other way except God? That's the only way, the only place I know where there's peace, where there's understanding, where there's illumination and enlightenment and wisdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, of course, the first focus you want to come to is you're thinking about food. But God's talking about all of His promises there. If you are willing and obedient, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? Proverbs 18:17 says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. I don't ever want to be in the place where I'm so prideful that I can't hear the voice of God because it may just be coming through one of you. Are you with me? How many know God uses people? He can do it supernaturally, but many times He'll use people. And if we have ears to hear, we'll hear what the Spirit is saying through those people. Again, you may have taught, you may have been taught the right way and the right way to do things and taught the etiquette and the manners, but are you diligently listening and obeying? And are you setting the right example, not only by your actions and your training, but by your lifestyle, what's in you for the other person? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Train up. That doesn't just mean just... And you know, when the child doesn't exactly do what you want the way you want it or when you want it, and they become a little defiant, how many have tried the avenue of shouting? And has that ever worked? When somebody shouts at you, what do you do? Shut down. Just turn them off. So you think that's going to work with the child? Honey, if it's not going to work on you, it's not going to work on the child. And we're talking about not only physical children, but spiritual children here. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't understand we're supposed to lead by example. Not this old deal, don't do as I do as I say. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to lesson in frustration, there it is right there, because it does not work. How many can say amen to that? Train up a child in the way he should go. That means you give him not only the spiritual things that are necessary, but the things that are necessary for manners and etiquette to be around people and to portray the right image to people. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, there are lots of people out there in this day and age. They just came out with this again. This was something that came out of Dr. Spock in the 60s. He was wrong then, and the logic is wrong now. Don't spank your child. you're going to damage their psyche. You can tie it outside because your words are falling on deaf ears here. Because God says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What do you think it does when you don't set the example you're supposed to set? For instance, you don't sit at a table like you should and have dinner. I'm not saying that has to be every moment of every day. But the point is, that is the time when families come together. They're able to share about their day. They're able to share about things. God can reveal himself through one another. We can bless one another. But if you just stick something in front of a child and you just run off and do your thing, what are you teaching that child? And this manifests in the spiritual as well as the natural. You doing okay, Harry? Okay. Praise the Lord. And then you wonder why he's not doing the proper things. Not ever realizing that your whole life is to be to put the right things in that child so that child will turn out to be a person you can be proud of. I'm going to tell you something. This may not set well with you, but God loves us. That doesn't mean he's always proud of us. Oh, you didn't like that, did you? Consider your ways. God always loves us, but sometimes he's not very proud of us. But if you consider your ways, it may just be because you're not setting the right example. In whatever area, whether it's in your home, on your job, on the streets, whatever, in your acquaintances. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. How many understand that spiritual death is worse than physical death? How many want to go and face the Lord and have him say, what happened? Why didn't you teach him, teach that person or that child or the other people in your life the right way to do things? Why didn't you set the example? And then what you do is you go running to God saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change it. Consider your ways, says the Lord. Examine your own life. Examine your own heart. Examine the way you do things. You might find out that as God gives you direction, things can change quite quickly because of God. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways. Acknowledge him. And he will what? Direct your path. Direct your path. This is interesting in Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. But a good man will be satisfied from above. Oh, that's a good verse. That's a good verse. They're all good. Filled with his own ways, I got a better idea. I hear Frank Sinatra singing, I did it my way. Yeah. Where is he today? Proverbs 3:7-8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. What is he saying? What is evil? It doesn't mean you go out and murder or kill or steal. It means anything that is disobedient to what God tells you is the right way to go. This is the way. Walk in it. That's departing from evil. If you're doing what God says, the way God says to do it, by the Holy Spirit's direction, you can't go wrong. Did you hear me? You can't go wrong. Listen to what it accomplishes if you'll do that. It will be healthier flesh and strength to your bones. You won't have the frustrations. I can tell you, I've seen people who got so frustrated that they actually broke down and physically cried because they can't understand. They're so frustrated. They just don't understand why things are the way they are. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's because you're not doing what God said to do the way God said to do it. Maybe just slightly somewhere in your life, you think you got a better way. Or you think, you know, I asked a question yesterday. I was talking. There was a question asked, or not a question, but a statement made. Man, I don't understand that. Talking about the things of God. And I'm not saying there was anything wrong with that question. What I'm saying is, you cannot do it in your own strength, in your own mind. The Bible says there's a way that seems right, but the end is death. We've talked about that. We've said that earlier. Death. That means you're not going to have the desired end that's promised in Jeremiah 29:11. The expected end. You won't have it. Because there's only one way to get it. Diligently listening and obeying. Amen? How foolish to come to the place where you're that beside yourself, if you will, when all you got to do is surrender to God. Whoa, how hard is that? Well, if you're fooling yourself, it might be pretty hard. But what did he tell you? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And the only way you get to me or you get that expected end is in me. Listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 6. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not fleshly. And that's not just talking about, again, spiritual things in our lives, but things that God has already set in place in His Word, if you're heeding and listening to the Word, that are the right way to do things. And I'll promise you, there's no frustration in that. You believe that? I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's when I tried to do it my way. It's when I tried to do it another way or think I got a better way. I got a better idea. My name's not Ford. So tie your better idea outside, Mr. Ford. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly. But what are they? Mighty. Oh, they're mighty. What else does it say? Through God. Or in God. For what? What are they mighty for? The pulling down of strongholds. We're talking about strongholds this morning that you established. I established. If we didn't do it God's way. How can you expect to get good when you don't seek the one who is good? I'll guarantee you every benevolent, every good thought you ever had in your life came from the knowledge of God, whether you acknowledge it or not. The morals that you live by, even when you're not a Christian, are morals that God put there. Would you agree with that? It's called a conscience. Hello? Are you with me? Verse 5 says, what you got to do is you got to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. One of the things that happens in that is you have blatantly allowed yourself to become blind to why the situation is there. You're running around like a chicken with your head cut off asking God, why? And you're the problem. I'm the problem. Why? Because we're not obeying God. I'm not here to bring anybody down this morning. But there's a way that seems right to a man. Once again, can't get away from that scripture. But the end is death or destruction, leading in ultimate death. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Some of you know, and I've talked about this before, one of the jobs that I had when the summertime when I was, and it went on to be a more than just a summertime job. I did it, you know, on weekends and things when I was working at the school district. Because just $10,000 a year is not very much. A good job. I enjoyed it. God had a lot of freedom and leeway there, which I thank God for. But you're just not making much money. And unfortunately, it takes money to live in this life. And one of the things happened is and this is not the first time. I could tell you other examples from the past, too. But one night, I'm walking around doing my rounds in the mall. I was a mall public safety officer. And all of a sudden, God and I were having an argument. Actually, God wasn't arguing. I was the one arguing, fussing and fuming, acting like a fool. And all of a sudden, I caught myself. The Holy Spirit, Bill, what are you doing? And you know what I did? If it takes this, then do it. I was standing in the back hallway where there wasn't a person in the world could see what I was doing. And I literally grabbed myself by the throat and I said, Bill, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Listen to the voice of God. Diligently listen and obey to what God says. You're wrong. Your thoughts are wrong. Your speech is wrong. A few times of that. And I opened the door for the Holy Spirit to just come and say, that's simple. Now he didn't wave his finger in my face, but spiritually he did, and I knew it. I knew it. And I got my thinking straight. I got my focus right. I'm going to say this. When it comes to your children, if there's something you don't like, maybe because you didn't obey God completely. Because you didn't give God place in everything that had to do with the children and the way you would bring them up. God's got a pattern. You deviate from that pattern. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you beat the child with the rod, you won't kill him, but you'll save his soul from hell. Now, I'm going to brag on God a little bit. One of the things that made me the proudest about my children, did I do everything right? No. I was overboard in some things. But look at what the outcome was because God covered it. Many times people would go or would come to me. One time some friends of mine were babysitting my kids. They had two little boys of their own. Of course, I had a son and a daughter. And I don't know how we got off on it, but they said, you know what? Your kids can come here anytime. They're a good example for my kids. How does that make you feel? It's not my goodness. It's the goodness of God being obedient to Him. I remember one time when I was a kid, we were playing ball out in front of the house with one of those plastic bats and balls, you know, all made out of plastic. Hit the ball and busted a window in a neighbor's little apartment complex right there on the corner. First thing my friend did was want to run. Oh, let's don't tell her. Let's just run and hide. I said, no. My conscience wouldn't allow me to. I was just a kid. But I knew the Lord. And because I'd been brought up right, because I'd been taught the right things, etiquette, morals, responsibility, I went to the lady and said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm the one who broke the window. Boy, his mother came storming up there and read my mother the riot act, and my mother got right in her face and said, you raise your kid the way you want to, and I'll raise mine the way I want to. Who do you think got the respect out of that? And I'll bring up that story just to show you. When you set the right example, what happens? The only home my wife and children and I ever owned was in Westminster. And one of the things that I told my son Michael, I said, Michael, don't play ball in the front yard. We had a park we could go to just down the road a little bit. You know, don't play ball in the front yard. So he and a couple of the neighbor boys got together and they were playing ball out there. Sure enough, their dad's mirror got broke on his truck. Now I want you to look at what I'm saying and listen carefully. My son knew his world was about to end when Dad got home.
I mean, know what I'm talking about. But you know what? What an example of the grace and mercy of God. I thank God that He was in control that day and not me. Because I could get angry. I was in my right mind enough not to touch my children when I was that angry, but I could get angry. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm not bragging about that. But my son went to that man's house and knocked on the door. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the truth that sets us free. And he said, "Sir, I broke your mirror playing ball. And when I came home, you're awesome, God. You're awesome, God." My son came to me and he said, "Dad," he said, "I broke the man's mirror. I was playing ball in the front yard like he told me not to. And I didn't get mad at him. I just pointed out to him. I said, Michael, that's why I told you, don't play ball in the front yard." He deserved punishment. He knew he deserved, but he didn't get punished. Instead, we walked over together to that man's house. And I could tell you several more examples. We're not going to go into all that today. But I walked over to the man's house and I knocked on the door. I said, "Sir, I'm Michael's father and I understand we owe you a mirror." He said, "You don't owe me anything." He said, "I'd have paid to see this or have this happen, to be a party to this. Your son came and told me exactly what would happen. He owned up to it." He said, "Your son is a good example for my kids." That's God, and that's not me. I'm an idiot. Without God, I'm an idiot. But God turned what was meant for harm to good. It didn't cost me a dime. And it's not because I didn't offer to pay. And again, this is not the first time. Honesty, integrity. These are things the Word of God talks about. If you teach those things, if you train up your child in the way that they should go when they are old, they will not depart from it. Michael didn't get in trouble. He learned a lesson that day. I mean, he was in trouble. He knew he was, but he didn't get hollered at. He didn't get a hand laid on him. What's that worth to you to have something like that happen? Family of God, there have been things in my life, some I've shared with you, some of you new folks, you don't know about this. What's it worth to you when you've done all you know to do that's right? And I didn't say you didn't make mistakes, but God covered them. To have your child come to you and give you a key fob. And on that key fob, well, I can't find it. It's in 3 John. Yes, it is. Here it is. I'm going to read the first three, the second, third, and fourth verses. But verse 4 is the verse. This is what was written on that, engraved on that key fob that my daughter gave me. See, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to trust God. Be holy as He is holy. He says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when my brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." Listen to what verse 4 says. This is what was on that key fob. Caption, "Dad, wise teacher. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And a few years later, at Christmas time, my son comes and brings me a watch in a beautiful box. And the inscription, this is from their heart. This is this ogre that overdid it. But the inscription in the watch said, talked about integrity and honesty and character. You can't buy that, folks. You can't buy that. That comes from listening to and obeying God. And again, I'm not telling you that I was perfect. I was far from perfect. In fact, in my younger years, I was a mess. I've told you that before. But God, if you're having problems and you're tearing your hair out trying to figure out what in the world is wrong here, why is this happening? You see good things come out of this in your children, but for some reason there's some areas where they're renegades. I mean, know what I'm talking about? Well, I'll raise my hand. I can tell you I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And I wasn't what some folks would call a bad boy. But I was still a boy. But because I had been taught the right things, and this is what helped me respect God and fear God, is I had a respect, healthy respect for my dad and my mom. And that's why I had a healthy respect for God. And that's also why I had spent years trying to get over the fact that I thought if I stepped out of line just one little bit, God was going to lower my ears. I mean, know what I'm talking about. I heard about the love of God, but I always walked around like a turtle. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Because I expected any minute when I got a line, God was going to just absolutely let me have it full bore. And I took me a long time to get over and to understand that wasn't the way God was. That may have been the earthly example, but that's what led me to have the fear of God, meaning the respect for God. I didn't cross my dad, not deliberately. Who knew? And yet I never doubted that my dad loved me. Now, I struggled with it in later years. Thank God I came to terms with it. And I'll tell you, I love my dad today. Did he always do the right thing? No. But he gave me principles and values that I have had people tell me and my family, teaching us about family and, you know, togetherness and, you know, that type of thing, being there for one another, that have helped me with the principles of God in my life, taught me valuable lessons. Did he always do it the right way? No. Was he a little overbearing? Yes. But you see, God's in control. Now, I didn't know that then, but I know it now. Let's look at the example of us. How many times have we gotten in God's face? Maybe we didn't flat out say no, but our actions were saying no loud and clear. I don't want to do it that way. I don't like what you're telling me. We have a promise that says your latter days will be greater than your former days. And when God forgives, He doesn't forgive halfway or partway. He forgives all the way. His gifts and calling are without repentance. So I would submit to you this morning that if there's something that's bothering you, if there's something that's been bugging you, run to God. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. Verse 6 says, "And being ready to punish all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled." Did you ever think about that might mean your disobedience too? Taking yourself out to the woodshed and saying, "I think you better make some changes. I think you better straighten up. I think you better do it God's way." Because when you do that, then you're going to set the example and you're going to change. That'll be the only thing that'll change what's going on in the natural. Did you hear what I said? When your heart and your spirit changed, didn't it change things in the natural? Don't shout me down now. Y'all still here? Didn't it change things in the natural? The way you looked at things, the way you thought about things, the way you did things? And one of the things, of course, that astounds me is the fact that you can have these problems, you can see what's going on, you know there's a problem, and yet you can't for the life of you see why that's happening. I can't figure it out. Well, stop trying to figure it out and run to God. Put the problem in God's hands. Say, "Look, I don't know what I did wrong or but Lord, there's a problem." And how many know God's already got the answer? And He's just waiting for you to come and ask Him? He's just waiting for you to come and ask Him. In closing, I want to read Galatians 6. 7 through 9. God says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." If things are going wrong, as we've talked about many times in the past through many messages, examine. What did you sow? What are you sowing into that child's life? Do you love that child enough? Listen, it can be something just as simple as this. Do you love the child enough just to sit at the dinner table with them? But Daddy, come and sit with me. Come and talk to me. And then something comes out of your mouth like, well, when I do that, all you want to do is argue and stuff. Where's the love and compassion in that? Sometimes we want things that we're not willing to give. And we can't want to understand why we're not getting them. Why we're not getting it. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Verse 8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So simple. Things aren't going the way they should. Where are you standing with God? Who's in control of your life? What's in control of your life? Is it circumstances? Is it finances? Or is it God? A good man out of the good treasury of his heart brings forth good, but an evil man out of the evil treasury of his heart brings forth evil. It's God said it. It's His law. Sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And again, can you think outside the box and realize that's not just talking about in the hereafter, but everlasting life. Life meaning good, blessing, wisdom, opportunity. And then in verse 9 it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint, if we do not lose heart. The King James says, if we do not faint. Say, so there's something going on. Something here that you've been wondering, God, what's going on? I would say to you the same thing that I say to myself. Examine your heart. Examine your way. Are you doing what God tells you to do? Against all the advice of all the quote-unquote so-called experts out there. Because let's face it, in 6,000 years they've never agreed with God. If they didn't really know Him. Go to God. I want to stress this. It's never too late. It's never too late. I'm sure many of you have testimonies. You can tell me about testimonies. And I have testimonies to tell you. Where what looked like a hopeless thing and the damage was done, that God made a change. I can't tell you I know of a lot, but I know of hardened criminals. I'm talking about hardened criminals who have said foolish things like, if I get out, I'll do it again. Like the beaver and the scorpion. How many remember the story of the beaver and the scorpion? Scorpion walks up to the banks one day, or banks of the river, and says to the beaver, let me get on your back and give me a ride across the other side. Not a chance. Not a chance. You get on my back, we'll get halfway out there in the middle of that pond, and you'll sting me, and I'll die, and you'll drown and die too. And just like the devil, the scorpion says, oh no, why would I do that? I'll be destroying myself. See, he appeals to your logic. Remember, one of the tools of the enemy is deception and distraction. Two of the tools. Deception and distraction. And he says, come on, give me a ride. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to do it. I know what you're going to do. So after a little coaxing, the beaver decides, well, okay, I'll give you a ride. So he goes to the bank. The scorpion gets on his back. They get halfway out in the middle, and the scorpion stings him. Beaver says, I don't understand. I knew you were going to do this. Why did you do this? We're both going to die. And the scorpion responded, because it's my nature. Because it's my nature. Nature without God. See, one of the things God does in us is He changes our nature. That Adamic nature. That carnal nature. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we do not lose heart. It's never too late. Never too late. I'm not somebody special. God doesn't hold me in any higher regard than any person in this room. I know some folks would think because you're in the pulpit, you know, oh, well, you're exempt. Where did you get that nonsense? I'm a human being. As they say in the world, I put my pant legs on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. Yes, I am the apple of His eye. And yes, He loves me. But He loves you too, and you're the apple of His eye too. And He doesn't esteem one of us any higher than the other. He loves us all equally. That's another thing we can't hardly fathom. We'll talk about that someday, maybe. God desires. I would ask the question that the Bible asks. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. I don't know about y'all. I'd classify frustration and anxiety as being downcast, wouldn't you? Once again, I'll tell you that God's never failed me. He's never let me down. And He's never failed you either. I don't care what has happened in your life. He's never failed you. If something didn't go right, might just be that you didn't diligently listen and obey. Or that you tried to do it your way. You hear me? God loves you. Song says, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. Praise the Lord. I hope you're encouraged today. That no matter what the circumstance or the situation is, number one, God is not up there just waiting for you to get a line so He can just absolutely lower the boom on you. And if He has good thoughts for you, and He has an intended end for you, then that means everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness is in Him and through Him. And it's available to every one of you. Family of God, if there's not levels that you come to in God, the only levels that we even understand about God is when He says you're changed from glory to glory. When you take a step up, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you think that you have to attain a level of goodness before God's going to move in your behalf in some areas, you're not understanding the Word of God. It has nothing to do with that. Let me tell you, I think I mentioned this, well, it was last Wednesday, I wasn't here, but the week before that. Hang on to your hats, because what you're going to see is something that people cannot understand. I'm telling you, even Christian church people cannot understand. God is about to, you remember Stan, how many ever heard Stan talk about unearned income? Well, unearned blessings. You can't earn your blessings. They're given by God. They're free gifts. All the only thing you got to do to get them is say, I receive them, and then walk in them. Right? Ooh, why is that so hard? But you're about to see this year God pour out supernatural blessings far beyond what you could ask or think. And some of you may just sit back and say, what did I do to deserve this? You're His child. You're His son. You're His daughter. How many of you are just, you know, your child, son or daughter wanted something, or you knew that they really had a heart for that? Maybe even your spouse. And you just went out and you did it. There's no reason. It wasn't a birthday. It wasn't a holiday. It wasn't, you know, but you just went out and did it because you wanted to bless them. That's the way God is. Honey, you didn't come up with that on your own. That desire in you comes from God. Much as we love Richard, it's not the love we have for Richard, it's the love of God, because God loves Richard, and the reason we love him, because the love that God's bestowed and showed on us, right? God's raising him up. I'd ask you this morning, is there anything too difficult for God or beyond His capability? If your answer is not yes or no, then you need to consider your ways. See, God doesn't operate in our realm of thinking. He doesn't operate according to the way we do things. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are past finding out. How many know the Word says that? His ways are past finding out. But He reveals to us His goodness. He sets the example and puts in us the ability to love and to walk and to live in Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Did any of you get any hope out of this? The Lord. If you need prayer, come forward. If you need agreement on anything, or there's something that's been holding you back, get free this morning. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't be bashful. For his knee. Have a seat. Have a seat right there. Just right there. How many of you know this is not God? It's an attack of the enemy. I'm not talking about Frank. I'm talking about the attack. I love you. So we're going to come against this. According to the Word of God. Anybody else? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for Frank walking in health. I come against the pain in his knee. I command it to return to the one that sent it and meant it for his harm and destruction in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the pain now is on Satan. And that Frank is free. I thank you that because of your blood and your bruises and your stripes that you bore in Isaiah 53:5 and according to 1 Peter 2:24, Lord, that he is healed from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. The pain is leaving now in Jesus' name. We thank you for the manifestation. We say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. And Lord, we confess that it's done in Jesus' name. We'll believe no other report. We'll receive no other report. And we stand with him until the full, and even after the full manifestation comes. We want him healed, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we're asking, and we thank you that our prayers are always answered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else? And Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these people once again. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. Thank you for touching Frank and all of us, Lord, by your word and by your healing hand, Lord. Thank you for health for every individual.
Thank you for wisdom and insight, blessings, Lord, that they can't even contain, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now we sanctify the food and the fellowship, Lord, and we just bless you for your presence here today, Lord. We give you praise. Daddy God, Abba Father. Amen.